Hello, everybody. I am JimFear138, and welcome to another episode of the Jim Fear Podcast. And I would like to apologize to you guys. I was supposed to have a guest on this week, but somebody did not get me their audio on time, so I did not have time to edit it. And it's not just editing. You know, there's also render time that you have to take into account here. Usually when I have a guest podcast, it goes on for about 3 hours or so. So it takes at least 4 hours to render it. That's cutting out dead air and everything. Like, I have to listen to the whole thing. I have to cut out dead air, cut out the ums and ahs and shit like that. Although, usually in the past, I haven't had time for that because, well, we would record it on a Thursday night and I wouldn't have time to edit and render on Fridays and then get it uploaded by Saturday because it takes forever to upload the damn thing too. So I've started recording the guest podcasts way beforehand, or I could just not edit them, but it still takes forever to render, and now I have to render it twice, because I'm hosting my audio on archive.org. It's a trick my buddy Dimension Bucket showed me, and hopefully with this trick we are going to get on iTunes. And hang on, let me get rid of, there we go. Hopefully we are going to get on iTunes. I'm still waiting to hear back from them. It's been a couple of days. Bucket said that they usually respond within a day or so, but I guess they're particularly swamped at the moment. So I don't fucking know. We'll have to see how it goes. But now, because I have to export both a video and an audio file, it's going to take a little bit longer to get everything done before Saturday. So if I have a guest podcast, I'm going to have to record it on the extreme back end. So I'm recording this on Friday night, so you guys get something this weekend, and it's not going to be late. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to record this shit, and I'm going to get it edited and rendered out and uploaded tonight, just so that it'll be there for you guys tomorrow. Now, hopefully, everything will be up on iTunes by the time the podcast with Wandering Scarecrow, who was supposed to be my guest, I don't remember if I said that or not, goes up. Hang on, I need a bit of a shot right now. Yeah, I'm not doing the wine thing this week. I got I was gonna record with Crow on, what was it, Tuesday? I want to say Tuesday. And I was basically falling asleep at work, so I knew I needed something that was going to keep me awake. And the wine and brown liquor kind of makes me a little bit muzzy, a little bit sleepy. So I went and got some good clear liquor. I got me a liter of Rumpelmann's. And it is so worth it. I absolutely love Rumpelmann's. So, like I say, iTunes is coming. We're just waiting to hear back from them, and if they reject me, I'll just keep trying until I get in. So this week, because I did the thing with Scarecrow, and I was expecting to get the audio on Tuesday night or Wednesday so that I could spend Wednesday editing it and you know, have plenty of time to render everything out, I don't really have a topic this week. I don't really have anything to fucking talk about. But I'm not going to stint you guys on content, so I'm sure I'll come up with something. Actually, I do have a bit of a topic that I wanted to kind of go off on for a little bit. I've been listening to a lot of really interesting talks. If any of you are familiar with Stefan Molyneux of Free Domain Radio, which he's here on YouTube, he's also on iTunes, so I would recommend looking him up. He has some very interesting opinions and arguments, and he's got this whole, like, peaceful parenting thing that he talks about where you don't spank your kids, and me and Crow kind of got into that a little bit, but, he's a very interesting guy, and he has a call-in show where he'll get random people from across the world to just call in and just bullshit with him for about an hour and 15 minutes. The shows are usually about, three hours, 15 minutes long, something like that, three and a half hours. Very, very interesting stuff. And it's kind of made me think about this whole culture war that we've got going on right now. And if you think that there's not a culture war going on right now, then you're wrong. I'm sorry. There genuinely is one, and we kind of need to take note of it and, in essence, pick a side. I think if you want to sit on the sidelines, that's your fucking business. but there is a definite split between authoritarians and libertarians. And these are all, like, small a, small l. These people don't couch themselves... Well, a lot of the people on the libertarian side couch themselves as libertarians, but mostly it's between people who think that the government should be all up in your shit and that the government should not be all up in your shit. The people who want to force you to do and say and think things, and the people who want you to make up your own mind and do what you want to do. And this is very evident in, if you go and check this hashtag on Twitter, Triglypuff. One or two G's, I'm not really sure which. But basically this is a woman, I want to say. Girl, really. She's a girl. She's very immature. Who was shouting the entire time that, it was at a talk at a college, I can't remember the name of the campus, that Milo Yiannopoulos, based mom Christina Hoff Sommers, and Steven Crowder did. And this person would not shut up the entire fucking time. She just kept chanting things, and she didn't know how to chant properly. Like the way that you're supposed to chant is, I'll do a little bit of demonstration for you. The line that she used and the one that I'll use for this demonstration is, "Get your hate speech off this campus." Sorry if you hear my cat in the background. She is very active right now, but there's not really a whole lot that I can do about it. Like I said, I gotta get this up for you guys on Saturday, because I'm not gonna be skimping you guys on material, and I've said that I'm gonna stick to this hard schedule, and I'll be damned if I'm gonna deviate from it at all, ever. I'll be working here, I'll be right here in front of this microphone until the day I die, which hopefully will be a long time from now, but we'll see. So she said, the way that she did it, and if I can find the video, I'll put it in the thing.
Madness.
And then she got winded, and I could have gone on for a few more iterations there, so I'm not quite as out of shape as I think I am. But the way that you're supposed to do it is, it's supposed to be a cadence. It's supposed to sound like a song. It's supposed to give you time to breathe. So, get your hate speech off this campus! Get your hate speech off this campus! Get your hate speech off this campus! That's how you're supposed to do a chant properly, to ensure that you cause the maximum amount of disruption of other people's talk. And these are the kind of people that I'm talking about. These aren't protesters outside. If these people had wanted to protest outside of the event, fine, they're more than welcome to. That's what public spaces like that are for. Go out onto the sidewalk and do your protest. Fine. That's protected under the Constitution. That's perfectly legal. It's perfectly fine. You can say just about whatever you want. Just so long as you're not inciting people to commit crimes or yelling fire in a crowded theater or something like that. You know, you're okay. But no. No. These people had to buy tickets, which I think is pretty funny myself, because they actually paid money to the people that they hate so much. But they bought these tickets, and they go inside, and then they try to disrupt the event, and the people putting on the event just were not having it. It would have been a lot better if they had thrown them out, but I can understand the trepidation to do so, because that would have affirmed all of the projection that these people were going to put on them. Oh, you're not concerned about free speech, you just want to shut down the opposite side. When in reality, that's the people like Triglypuff. It would have just proved to them that, oh, these are the evil monsters who just want to shut us up, and they don't want to hear any opinions other than their own. When in reality, especially if you watch Steven Crowder's opening remarks, which I thought he did very well. He had kind of a high voice. He needed to put a little bit more bass into his voice. I guess he was a little bit nervous or something like that. But he did a very good job of making fun of these people. He just relentlessly tore into them for about 10 minutes straight, and it was ugly and glorious.
Time to listen up, you silly liberal fruitcakes. You have any idea, sir, how pathetic it must be to be you? These people wanted to come out and have a good time, hear a few jokes, some thoughtful discussion, but your head pops off the pillow in the morning with, oh, how can I be a professional victim today? Look, they're confused. You know why? Because I'm not your gender studies professor who has to cater to your trigger warning, microaggression, safe space bullshit.
But, I'll put the link to that in the description. It was on Milo Yiannopoulos's YouTube channel, so that'll be down there in the description. You guys can have fun with that. I did. I still have to watch the whole thing, but I've seen the relevant bits. But basically, these people came in, and they tried to shut these people down because they have opinions that these people don't like. These are the authoritarians. These are the people who want to make sure that anybody, and I mean anybody who disagrees with them, is shut up. And they will do this several ways. They will no platform, which means that they will ensure that you're not able to speak at places they don't want you to speak. So if Milo wants to go to a certain college and the, I hate using the term SJW, but the SJW, for lack of a better term, the authoritarian, the SJW presence is strong there, they will ban him from speaking. This actually happened to both him and Julie Bindel. They were having a debate on whether or not feminism had a free speech problem, and both sides had been banned. Milo was banned because he was an ardent, because he is an ardent anti-feminist, and he doesn't take shit, and he thinks feminism is cancer. Julie Bindel was banned because she is a TERF, a trans-exclusionary radical feminist. She thinks that trans women are not women. They are men in disguise that are trying to, I don't fucking know her reasoning, that they're trying to corrupt the innocent women's or some shit like that, trying to infiltrate women. I have no idea what her fucking problem is. But she was banned from the college, too. So they went to a different area. They went, I think it was a private venue. Or maybe they just went to another building. Who fucking knows? But they had the talk, and both of them were very, not distraught, but kind of laughing about the fact that the debate was about whether or not feminism had a free speech problem, and feminists had shut down both of them from talking, from expressing their points of view. So that was a little bit ironic. But these are the authoritarians. And they are very much homogenous, in my experience, in their ideological positions. Now, they do come from all races, all sexes, which there's only two. So, you know, they have both men and women. They have just about every religion in there. And I think that the fact that they are authoritarians explains why they are so into Muslim apologia or apologism, because Islam is a very authoritarian religion, very authoritarian religion. They haven't gone through their reformation, and there are people out there who are doing that, and I applaud them, people like Majid Nawaz and Ayaan Hirsi Ali. But I think that's part of the reason that Muslims get top victim cred in authoritarian social justice circles, because they recognize that they smell their own. And no, I don't mean all Muslims, but Islam is a problem as an ideology, as a mass of ideas. It is a very, very large problem. It is quite possibly the most dangerous ideology on the face of the earth right now. But that aside, then you have the libertarian-minded people. And these are people who, let's go back to the authoritarians right quick. They are very much, at least in America, the authoritarian social justice people are very much ideologically homogenized. They are feminists, they are social justice, they are Black Lives Matter. They are people like that who want to shut other people down basically because they have opinions that they know are right but can't talk them out of. So they want to shut them up, full 1984 style. You're not allowed to say those things. And if they had their way, it would be legally not allowed. But they all kind of subscribe to the same ideology. People like Trigglypuff, people like AIDS Skrillex, the "you're a fucking white male" guy.
You're a fucking white male!
Yeah, him. And on the other side of the fence, you have the libertarian-minded people. And these are people like Steven Crowder, like Glenn Beck, like Mark Levin, like Milo, Christina Hoff Sommers, Dave Rubin, who the fuck else? Just, like, there's a great plurality of opinion on the libertarian side. You have people like Sargon of Akkad, people like Stardusk, with a K, not Stardust, but Stardusk. People like that guy, Teal Deer. A lot of YouTubers and conservatives and liberals and even feminists, people like Christina Hoff Sommers and Camille Paglia. There are people from all over the political spectrum and the ideological spectrum in this. There are anti-feminists, there are ardent feminists, there are men's rights activists, there are MGTOWs, there are pickup artists. All of these people are kind of, in certain instances, banding together to fight a common enemy. And in my opinion, you really kind of have to choose which side of this you want to be on, because if you don't pick a side and if you don't fight back, one side or the other is going to get their way. Now, which side would you rather have win this thing? Would you rather have the people who want to shut down dissenting opinions via legal authority, via the state, via police, via changing laws, via kicking people out so that they're not allowed to speak because their speech is harmful, quote-unquote? Or would you rather have the people that say, well, here's all the facts, here's all of the information, make up your own fucking mind? If you disagree with me, that's cool, but we deserve the right to disagree with each other. Personally, I prefer the latter. That's why I consider myself more on the libertarian side of this divide. I don't call myself a libertarian. I kind of align with a lot of libertarian viewpoints, but I don't call myself a libertarian in the same way that I don't call myself a conservative or a liberal or a Democrat or a Republican. The only two labels that I really take for myself are men's rights advocate and man going his own way. That's about it. So far as, I mean, I am an atheist, but I don't think that that's really that big of a deal. I don't even really think there needs to be a word for it. I kind of agree with the whole non-stamp collector thing. Like, we have a word for people who collect stamps. You don't really need a word for people who don't collect stamps. That's just kind of my opinion on it. I'm not here to get into a big theological discussion or who's right and wrong on atheism and theism and things like that. But this culture war is getting big and it's getting dangerous, especially with people like Donald Trump, who is actively encouraging his followers, his people suffering from great leader syndrome, to punch dissenters and he'll pay their legal fees and shit like that. He's fucking said that. There's not many ways that that can be interpreted. You know, there's no amount of context that will make that okay. You know, you can say that he's joking, but he's a man with a large reach. He's a man with a large influence, and people are going to take him seriously. It's like the crazy Christians who bombed abortion clinics because they think that the abortion doctors are killing humans. They are taking human life. And they're not suffering for it. They're not being put away by the law for it. They're not subject to any repercussions for killing people, defenseless people, in their mind. You have these preachers talking this radical rhetoric, and then these people take it seriously. Much the same with Islam suicide bombers. They are radicalized by their imams who preach this, you know, infidels must die and Islam must rule the world rhetoric, and it's very, very damaging to easily influenced people, and it will get people to go and set themselves on fire, or fill their pockets with ball bearings and nails and rat poison and blow themselves up on a city bus, in the as in the fictional example that Sam Harris gave in the beginning of his book, The End of Faith. which he's actually doing a reading of called The End of Faith Sessions on his Waking Up podcast, which I highly recommend, because then you get to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, and he explains his positions and why he used words that he used and how the situation has changed since the book came out in, I want to say, 2004. So look up Sam Harris's Waking Up podcast and check that out. It's very interesting stuff. He also does a lot of talks with very well-educated and interesting people. I'm saying interesting a lot, this podcast, but there's a lot of interesting things going on. So I'm kind of justified in my repetition. But if we allow these authoritarians to just, if we just ignore them, if we just don't fight, like, they'll get over it, they'll grow out of it, some of them might. But in the meantime, they can cause a lot of damage, and there needs to be some kind of massive cultural pushback to these people and their positions and their agendas. You know, and you can say, oh, agenda, you sound like one of those crazy right-wing conspiracy theorists. You sound like Glenn Beck back when he was drinking every day and was on Fox. Yeah, it does sound like that, but just because Glenn Beck used that argument on things like the gay agenda and whatever doesn't mean that there aren't groups out there that have agendas and are willing to use all sorts of propaganda and thug tactics to push them. And these authoritarians, these social justice people, these feminists, these Black Lives Matter charlatans, they are that type of person. They want to make it illegal for you to criticize them. And this is one of the reasons that I really worry about the United States trending towards a country like Germany. One of the things that really bothers me about Germany is that Germany never really stopped being a totalitarian state. They never really stopped having this authoritarian bent to them. It manifests in greater or lesser degrees throughout their history, most notably with the Nazi regime in World War II. But nowadays, they've hit the complete opposite end of the spectrum. The pendulum has swung the other way, and you are not allowed to question the Holocaust in Germany. That is a punishable offense under German law. Questioning the Holocaust. And I'm not saying that people who question the Holocaust are right. They're obviously stupid, especially with all of the evidence that we have for it. All of the film, all of the pictures, all of the survivors with the numbers tattooed on their arms, the fucking concentration camps with the gas chambers, with the nail scratchings on the inside. Yeah, there's plenty of evidence for the Holocaust. And now, some of these people are, and I hesitate to say this, but some of these people are a bit more reasonable than others. You have your flat-out Holocaust deniers who just say, no, it never fucking happened, it's a total lie, meant to demonize Hitler and the Nazis, and they were just perfect little fucking angels. You know, your pull-tier 4chan asshat. And then you have the person who's like, well, no, I know the Holocaust happened, I just question the numbers. I don't think that many people really died, and it's kind of hard to get an accurate assessment of the actual number of deaths, which I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's a perfectly legitimate position for a person to take. If a person wants to question that, who am I to tell them that they shouldn't and they should be locked up if they do? I mean, I've seen pictures of a guy in Germany throwing the Hitler salute just to piss some people off, and a cop came up and walked him away in fucking handcuffs. This guy got arrested for putting his arm out in a certain way. So you can't tell me that Germany doesn't have a certain totalitarian bent to them that just never went away. And I worry that the United States is going to go that way. And if these authoritarians have their way, that is exactly what is going to happen. Questioning feminism will be illegal. There are people out there right now who want to do away with innocent until proven guilty. If I get accused of rape by a woman, they want it made illegal for me to defend myself. And consequently, and there is reason to worry about this, because consequently, that is the state of affairs on college campuses right now. There is a preponderance of evidence standard on college campuses in America right now, where if a young man is accused of rape, and this never happens to women, so don't bring me this shit, Title IX was intended to target men, and it must be repealed because it is discriminatory and it violates the fucking Constitution. It never happens to women. But if I get accused of rape on a college campus, and I'm a student at that college, then I get brought before a star court, a kangaroo court, and I am not allowed access to legal counsel, and I have to prove that I am innocent instead of them proving that I am guilty. This violates everything that our justice system is supposed to stand for. Everything. And you really need to decide where you want to be on this. And I'm not going to use phrases like the right side of history, because I don't... History is made by the winners. It's not... the right side of history is a nonsense phrase to me. Of course, there are certain instances where it's it's obvious, because I do believe that there are certain moral absolutes out there. And then I don't think they're set by God. I think they're just set by basic human decency and empathy and sympathy. Treating black people like second-class citizens because of their fucking skin color is fucked up. It's wrong. And the people who fought against that were on the right side of history. But for the most part, while the events in question are happening, I don't think that's a good phrase to use. But that's just my opinion on the matter. Anyway, you have to decide where you want to be on this. Because in the future, what's happening right now will affect our children, our nieces and nephews, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. It's going to have very far-reaching effects. And the questions that you need to ask yourself is, what kind of world do you want to live in yourself? And what kind of world do you want to preserve for future generations? What kind of world do you want to pass down? And I would rather pass down a world where everyone is free to say pretty much whatever they want, without fear of legal repercussions. And if somebody fucking belts you in the face for what you said, then that person is in the wrong, because words don't hurt. Sorry to tell you, sticks and stones, words don't hurt. Get over it. I'm gonna get another shot of Rumplemans. So yeah, take a look around and get informed about this kind of stuff. Look up people like David Rubin. If you're more on the left-wing side of things, David Rubin will be very good. He's trying to clean up the left. He's trying to salvage what I think is an unsalvageable ship, much like Christina Hoff Sommers and Camille Paglia. Well, not so much Camille Paglia, but Christina Hoff Sommers is trying to salvage feminism while even the rats have abandoned ship at this point. But Dave Rubin is a good person to go and look up. His show is very interesting. He has people like God Saad. Sam Harris was on his show. He gets neuroscientists, he gets political leaders, all fucking kinds of people. I think he even interviewed one of the ladies who started Femin over in Europe. Yeah, those crazy broads that, like, rip their shirts off and spray paint shit across their titties and run down the street screaming and hollering like that. Yeah, he interviewed one of those women. And it was a very interesting conversation. See, once again, saying interesting all the time. I have no concept of synonyms. Fuck off! Look up people like Paul Joseph Watson. Look up people like Steven Crowder. Look up Milo Yiannopoulos. Look up Christina Hoff Sommers. Look up Karen Strawn. Look up Honey Badger Radio. Just take a listen around. Do some reading. I'm not going to tell you what to think or specifically where to go, and I've given you some places that you can get started at that are on both the left and the right. And I highly, highly encourage you to listen to both of them. Both sides of this argument have relevant, valid points. And both sides of the people on the libertarian side of the argument have relevant, valid points. And it's very mind-blowing that such disparate groups of people have been brought together to fight this authoritarian bent in what is essentially the left wing at this point. I'm not saying that there aren't authoritarians in the right wing. I know that there are. I spent most of my younger years learning about them via people like Noam Chomsky and Jello Biafra and Mumia Abu-Jamal and people like that. No, I know that there are authoritarians on the right. They're not the dangerous ones right now. We can burn that bridge when we get to it. These left-wing lunatics, these complete and utter loon bags, are who we have to fight against right now. And I would advise you to get informed. Just get informed. Just keep abreast of the situation. If you're one of those types of people, sign petitions. If you can go out and do activism, if you can go and see some of these people's talks, just having the conversation is enough. Because the longer the conversation goes on, the more likely it is that bad ideas will be shot down and the cream will rise to the top. So just having these conversations is important. And that's why I like people like Steven Crowder and Dave Rubin so much. They do that exact thing, just on different sides of the political spectrum, conservative and liberal. So I guess that's all that I wanted to say about that. And I should probably address something contentious that I said earlier. I called myself a men's rights advocate. I'm an MRA, guys. Sorry. Actually, you know what? Fuck that. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry for a goddamn thing. Except that the podcast that was supposed to be up this week isn't going to be up this week. That's what I'm sorry for. But I go for advocate because I do quite a lot of advocacy. I guess you could call me an intactivist. I hesitate to use the term men's rights activist because nothing that I do could be considered activism. But I am very much an advocate. I advocate for ending male genital mutilation in the West. I advocate for alimony law reform. I advocate for family court reform. I try to spread information about issues that men face and get people educated and involved on the situation. So I do it all from my computer. I'm not actually able to go out and activist, if that's even a verb, out in the real world, but I do advocate for the rights of men. So if you know who Dr. Randomer Cam is, he's one of the people on Honey Badger Radio. He's also a comedian, a cartoonist, a men's rights activist, a woman's rights activist, or advocate. I think he uses the term advocate. A MGTOW, and a couple of other things. But he's got his own YouTube channel, Dr. Randomer Cam, spelled exactly how it sounds. And he recently had a conversation with Sargon of Akkad that got me thinking. He released a video, I want to say it was him, he released a video talking about how Sargon had basically turned around and kind of stabbed him in the back with regards to the whole men's rights advocate thing. And he mentioned a live stream that he did on someone's channel, and if I can find it, I'll link it below. But, I think I subscribed to the guy on my Rants channel, which I don't upload to, because this is basically, the Rants channel has been folded into this. The podcast has taken over for the Rants channel, and I think it works a little bit better. But, I went and listened to this live stream that they did, and Sargon's point essentially boils down to feminists have control of the media, which they do. There is no fucking question. No question whatsoever. Okay, feminism, I don't know what you've heard. I don't know how many times this has been repeated to you, but feminism is not the underdog in any sense of the word. Any sense. Feminism has government by the balls, and they have media by the balls. Anyone who dares to talk shit about feminism is instantly lambasted in as public a forum as possible, especially if they're a famous person. Feminism is not the underdog. Feminism is the establishment. And Sargon's point was that feminism has this control over the media, and they have irretrievably poisoned the term MRA. Not necessarily men's rights activist or advocate, but MRA. Calling yourself an MRA is bad news, because feminists have basically, through a dedicated propaganda campaign, equated that phrase with basement-dwelling neckbeard misogynist who actually does hate women. And I have to use that qualifier there, because there's so much that gets called misogyny nowadays that just isn't. Disagreeing with a woman is not misogyny. Questioning rape culture is not misogyny. Saying fuck women are evil is misogyny. And people can be talked out of it. I had a phase like that. When I very first got into this whole, like, Manosphere, MRA, MGTOW thing. More so the MGTOW stuff, because the MRA is more so focused on politics, and they try to change laws and things like that. MGTOW kind of got into how does human nature affect society? How does it affect how people act? And they talk about male nature, and they talk about female nature. And I had that period of time where I just wasn't a big fan of women. I just did not like women in general. Now, I still had female friends whom I loved very much, but I didn't go out of my way to make new female friends, put it like that. And eventually I got out of it. Got out of it. It's perfectly acceptable to get out of it. And honestly, I wasn't even mad at women. I was upset at the fact that I had been lied to all my life by everybody I had known. That kind of thing can make a person very angry. And when we are angry like that, we seek to displace that anger on easy targets, because there's no way that you can take out your anger on literally everybody who ever taught you anything ever. So women were kind of an easy target for that. But that is not the case anymore. I've moved on past that. I've kind of got this Zen thing going on that I rather like. Women just are the way they are, and men just are the way they are. It's possible to change this. Human nature is mutable. That's what evolution is. But it's going to take thousands of years. So while I agree with men's rights activists that we do need to start working on these things because it is possible to change it, it's just going to take a very fucking long time, and we really do have to be in it for the long haul. And in the meantime, MGTOW can help men navigate this world that they find themselves in. So that's my position. But back to the reason that I started calling myself... See, this is why I kind of didn't want to broach this topic on the podcast. Not because I don't feel strongly about these topics. I do. I feel very strongly about these topics. Anyone who follows my my Tumblr will know that I feel very strongly about all of this shit. There's so much explaining that you have to do when you get into topics like these. Unless you've run in circles where this kind of stuff is common knowledge, where everybody's kind of up to speed, there's a lot of explaining that you have to do, and it's very tedious, and it takes a long time. And that's kind of why I was hesitant to get in this, because I'm lazy. But Sargon's point was that feminism has poisoned the label MRA irretrievably. Dr. Random McCam's point was that Gamergate fought that exact thing with feminism and gaming. That exact thing. The whole gamers are dead, gamers are misogynist, that whole Glockenspiel that came out. Gamergate very successfully fought back against that. Those people lost their jobs. They are not in power anymore. They're done. I mean, hell, Leigh Alexander lost her fucking job, and she's working at some podunk-ass website that no one's ever fucking heard of and no one will continue to hear of. And Sargon wanted to propose this kind of humanism thing that I found very much akin to intersectional feminism. Because we can have everybody in it, he said. Everybody is welcome in this humanist thing, even feminists, but you can't call yourself an MRA. And Dr. Random McCam's point was that, well, what label seems to be utterly immune to infiltration from social justice warriors and feminists? MRA. They don't want to have anything to do with it. It's the fucking devil to them. They don't want to touch it for fear of contamination. They don't want to call themselves MRAs. They don't want to get in and infiltrate. They want to destroy it. And that kind of gives it a strength. That gives it a leg up, because we've seen time and time again, from the atheist community to gaming to art, literature, all of this stuff, feminists and social justice people have gotten into it, they have infiltrated it, and they have slowly but surely eaten it from the inside out and just left a desiccated husk that they're still sucking the last bits of juice out of. They can't do that with MRAs, because MRAs are completely inimical to everything that they stand for. They question all of their premises. Every single last fucking one of them. And most of the time, they prove them wrong. Feminists and MRAs are like oil and water. They cannot mix. Now, of course, I'm talking about ideological feminists. The people who treat feminism like a religion. I'm not talking about your average feminist, or women's rights advocate or activist. Those two and MRA are perfectly compatible. You could absolutely consider Christina Hoff Sommers a men's rights advocate, and under the definition of that word, she fits the bill. And the difference between, because I know somebody's probably going to bring this shit up, the difference between the definition of feminism and the definition of MRA as relevant to defining both movements is that feminists absolutely disprove the definition, the quote-unquote dictionary definition of feminism, every single day. Every time they wake up, every time they enact a new piece of legislation, every time they protest, every time they do anything, they show unequivocally that they do not stand for equality of anything. They are a female supremacy movement, and they are not shy about it. But when they get called out on it, they're like, no, feminism is for equality. Why do you hate equality, you misogynist? See? Why do you hate equality, you misogynist? They don't care about discrimination. They don't care about... They care about women. That's it. And if you want to be a human rights advocate or activist and devote your time to women's issues, fine. Do that. I will applaud you. I will help you out if I can. Women do have problems. Let it never be said that they don't until they actually don't anymore. But when every time you enact a piece of legislation, and it is inherently discriminatory against men, and when people bring this up to you, you call them a misogynist and you say that they hate women, you don't care about women. You care about your ideology. These people don't even care about women who disagree with them. They might as well be men for all these people care. Now, your average feminist is perfectly more than capable of being a men's rights advocate or activist as well. They are able to engage in intactivism or engage in activism to promote alimony reform or try to get divorce courts changed or try to repeal the Duluth model of domestic abuse. You know, it's perfectly feasible to be a feminist and a men's rights activist. I know several. Like I said, Christina Hoff Sommers could be considered a men's rights activist based on her work with the war against boys, and her work with Gamergate, and her work basically fighting ideological batshit feminism. It's very possible to be both. However, ideological feminism is inherently threatened by men's rights activism because they are inherently against men. It's in all the literature. Well, there might be like one bell hooks book where she doesn't blame literally every evil in the world since Eve bit into that apple on men. And Dr. Random McCam found it very, very insulting that Sargon was proposing this, what essentially boils down to intersectional feminism, and inviting everybody, including feminists, but you can't call yourself an MRA and be a humanist, or whatever the term for it would be. And I find that a little bit insulting, too. So I decided to just be honest. I do advocate for the rights of men and boys. I do care about men and boys, and the plight that they're going through. I do care about the fact that little boys' dicks are being cut. Baby boys' dicks are being cut up. And those articles about how circumcision doesn't decrease the sensitivity of the penis, you don't remove 20,000 nerves and not have any effect on the sensitivity. That is an absurdity on its face. I care about problems like that. I care about the fact that there are men who are killing themselves right now because they cannot make their alimony payments because the judge has set the amount that they have to pay at double what they make, that they will be sent to prison for non-payment of alimony, which is the only debt you can be arrested for. I've owed the IRS money since 2010, 6 years now. Not once have they come after me. I had to go to them. I had to call the IRS for a certain thing. And while I was there, I asked them, well, is there any problems that I have with you guys? Just to check. And yeah, it turns out I owed like $1,200. They never called me. They never sent me a fucking letter. I wasn't about to go to debtor's prison for that. I owe God only knows how much in medical debt because of my seizure disorder. I've been contacted by collection agencies. No one has threatened to send me to prison. But if I owed alimony or child support, and I wasn't able to pay it, not that I was skipping out, but wasn't able to pay it, my job didn't make enough for me to live and pay it at the same time, or I just didn't have a job but I was looking for one, I could be sent to jail. That's fucked up. I care about that. I care about those men who are going through that right now, and I want to change their situation. I want to help them. I want to get the law changed so that that doesn't happen to any more men. Unfortunately, we've got a lot to contend with in that regard. We have basic human biology for a start. I mean, it's been proven that men have an out-group bias and women have an in-group bias. This is an uncontestable fact. Women prefer women and men prefer women. Nobody cares about men. And it's going to be a long haul to fight that and reverse it so that we can finally see men as people and not laugh at or ignore their suffering. And I do quite a lot of advocacy in that direction. I spread quite a lot of information. I mean, hell, on International Men's Day last year, all I did was post men's rights and MGTOW videos to Tumblr. And I tagged them with all of the appropriate shit. I'm just trying to spread knowledge, trying to get guys to look around and see what's happening to them and men like them. You know, it's like man-woman myth said. The other man is you, because you could just as easily be in his position. I don't want to be in that position. I'm pissed off about the fact that I have to avoid marriage because it's such a bad deal for men, and it's so easy for a man to get fucked over. And it gives women so much power, legally. I'm pissed off about that. I want that changed. You know, I'm pissed off that I'm not going to be having children. Because it's so easy for a woman to just take them away. And I'd never get to see them again. I don't want to wind up in that position. I would shoot myself. There are plenty of men who do. So yeah, I hope I've explained why I've decided to take up the MRA label, and I've been one for a long time now. I just didn't want to call myself that, because for the longest time I agreed with Sargon. Feminists have poisoned this. It's going to give me a bad rap. I don't care about the bad rap. I care about what's right. And what's right is advocating for men and boys and trying to help them and help future generations, so that they don't have to go through what we go through right now. So that we can fix the suicide gap. So that we can fix the gender empathy gap. So that we can fix the workplace death gap. So that we can fix the fact that 4 out of every 5 people who are homeless are men. So we can fix the fact that things like prostate and testicular cancer get a pittance of funding, while breast cancer is so overfunded they don't even need the fucking money anymore. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. This kind of got into a heavy podcast this time, but I've been listening to a lot of these people for a long time, and this stuff has kind of been weighing heavy on me. So I appreciate you guys letting me get this off my chest. I appreciate you guys listening. And if you want to give feedback in the comments section, I'm not going to attack anybody. I'm not going to be a dickhead, unless you're a dickhead first. Then I totally reserve the right to be a dick to you. But if you're interested in a conversation about these kinds of things, or if you would like to know more about some of the people that I mentioned earlier, or know where you can get involved in some men's rights activism or advocacy, I can point you in the right directions. So, hit me up in the comment section, you guys. If you enjoyed the podcast, please consider giving it a thumbs up. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. All of this will be linked in the description, and if this is on iTunes at a certain point, it'll be in the show notes and everything like that. Rate it on iTunes, tell your friends, spread it around, all of that good, happy shit. I would really appreciate it. I do enjoy doing this, but I'm not just doing it for my health. You feels me? So yeah, thank you guys very much for listening. I do appreciate you taking time out of your finite lives to listen to the drunken ramblings of this complete asshole loser. And I will catch you guys next week, which we got with the thing with Crow, we kind of get into current events, but not a lot. Like, we talked about the whole Hillary Clinton hot sauce thing a little bit and that kind of thing. But, nothing serious. So that one was recorded this week and it'll go up next Saturday. And then the Saturday after that, I've actually got a full list of guests. Blind Skywatcher is supposed to be my guest the Saturday after next. And then the Saturday after that, I think, Zombie Slayer is supposed to be coming on, who is a new up and coming narrator and a voice actor for Laughably Dapper. So yeah. Alright, I will catch you guys next week. I hope you all enjoyed the podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. Peace out, everybody.